Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
We're listening right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. And I guarantee you, everybody knows somebody that can benefit from today's subject. And this is just another powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the world. Now, before we get to our guests, I want you to know that I am truly grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially those of you who send in questions, comments, reviews, and suggestions, because remember, this show exists for you. And with that in mind, there was ever a time in recent years that we needed to focus on gratitude. This is the time. And my son Chase and I wrote the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, something that at the time was geared towards teens going through some changes in their life. Well, we're all going through changes in our lives now, so please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download a free copy. It's our gift to you, and all I ask is that you subscribe, which is for free, and give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, a quote, although not from the journal, it's by a science fiction author by the name of Neil Asher, and it reads, "If I could time travel into the future, my first port of call would be the point where medical technology is at its best, because like most people on this planet, I have an aversion to dying." So I think that's something that we could all relate to. And that is something that I think ties right into today's show. I come from a generation in which we used to talk about the biggest things that we worried about, and we wouldn't even say the word. We would just say, it's C. You know, I think they have C. And if you use that letter, it was pretty much a death sentence. So it tells me that, again, starting from somebody who was a science fiction author, this is the future. This is the time in which we're making huge headway in these areas. So with that in mind, I want people to know that our topic today, it's called Light 'em Up, and it's targeted combination therapy that kills cancer cells, you ready for this, in less than 2 hours. Okay, our guests are Dr. Matt Godovan and Tom Roberts of VitaNova Biomedical. Now, returning to our show, Dr. Godovan received his PhD in physiology from Dartmouth College. His 21-year research career at the University of Texas at San Antonio focused on pH regulation, where he discovered the ability to disrupt intracellular pH regulation in cancer to cause cancer cell death. He is the founder of VNB, an inventor of its technology, as well as a leading expert in the field of light-activated intracellular acidosis to cause cancer cells to commit suicide. Tom Roberts is the chief executive officer with 30 years experience in leadership and executive management roles at large corporations, mid-caps, and startup companies in the medical device and biotech sectors. He has been responsible for billion-dollar global healthcare brands and the successful development and commercialization of numerous healthcare products. Tom received his Bachelor of Science degree in biology from Denison University and his MBA from Indiana Wesleyan University. Gentlemen, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Alan.
Well, it is my pleasure. And when my producer told me that we were going to be able to get you back on, Matt, I was so excited because I have thought about the show that you did before and wondering, you know, why does it take so long when we get so close? But I think before we kind of get into that area, share with our audience a little bit of that wasn't with us 3 years ago. Share with us a little bit about the technology that we refer to as combination light activated therapy and describe to them kind of exactly what that means.
Certainly. So combination therapy is just that. It requires several components for its efficacy. In the case of our technology, light activated intracellular acidosis, we have a proprietary drug that we've developed that by itself does nothing. It's targeted to specific entities on the cancer cells. And then it's activated by a wavelength of light. So we have a drug and a light source. And in the case of a clinical application, some sort of probe that allows the light to be targeted and focally directed to the cancer. And this technology is really based upon three already proven principles, right? So people knew that intracellular acidosis could kill cancer cells, but nobody could really come up with a very good way to do that at all. Cancer cells are notorious for manipulating the pH environment around them for their own growth. Compounds can be activated by light to elicit a biological response. That's not a new thing, and that's being used in other fields. And the third proven principle is that nanotechnology has evolved so that little tiny nanoparticles can be actively targeted to seek out specific, like a lock and key, to seek out certain markers on the surface of cells. So we have a targeted cancer drug that we can have bind to the surface of cancer cells and go inside the cancer cells. And then after it's inside, these cancer cells are activated to cause the acidosis by the deep penetrating light.
Now, you just mentioned pH, and I have an uncle who went through cancer therapy, and he had explained that his doctor told him that for the rest of his life that he had to maintain a higher pH level in his body, and he used the term saying, cancer thrives in an acidic environment and not so much in a higher pH environment. Can you explain, number one, if that's true, and number two, what that means?
Yeah, so it is true that an alkaline environment, so having an elevated pH could be helpful. The thing that cancer cells do differently than normal healthy cells is they produce a lot of acid inside. Well, it sounds like then our technique shouldn't work. But what they do is they extrude it. So when they push the acid outside of the tumor, that acidosis in that extracellular space activates proteins that do two really important things for cancer's aggressive nature. First, it activates factors that cause blood vessels to grow towards the tumor, sort of in this false effort to remove the acid. This acid is outside the cells. And secondly, it activates compounds that sort of chew up the space, giving the cancer a physical room to grow. So in that sense, disrupting that would prevent the cancer growth, and it would cause them to be acidic. But cancer cells regulate intracellular pH better than any cells in our body.
So let me have a question. I have a question for Tom, because as I was digging deep into this, I noticed that Vita Novo Biomedical just got listed on the OCMX. Share a little bit about what that means, because I know you weren't on the show 3 years ago. I don't think you were with the company 3 years ago. Share what the differences are about, number one, you being on board and what that means for the company, but also what getting this listing does for the company and hopefully for the speeding up of the process of getting this out to people.
Sure. So I came on board 3 years ago, and it was at a time where Matt had taken the technology within the university space as far as he could. And the next step was to spin the technology and the company out of the university environment and start to partner with best-in-class organizations to help develop and commercialize the technology so we can offer this to the patient in need as quickly as possible. This is my second startup organization, and Matt and I were brought together by one of my former investors at a previous company who was familiar with Matt's technology. And Matt and I had lunch and hit it off, and it's a really good partnership. Matt driving everything from the scientific standpoint, and I'm working with Matt from the business development and commercialization standpoint. OCMX is an organization that brings early stage startup companies together with investors from venture capitalists, family offices, and private investors that are interested in early investments in novel technologies. We're at the point with Vitanova Biomedical where we're ready to start our investigational new drug testing in order to facilitate an FDA filing. And in order to do this testing, it costs money. So we've just opened a seed round of funding from $3 to $5 million to pay for the testing that's necessary to submit to the FDA. And OCM is our chosen partner. OCMX is our chosen partner to achieve this.
Now, I was discussing the fact of you guys coming on today with a friend of mine over the weekend. And the discussion came to why, as important as this is, why wouldn't there be government grants or something that would already be provided? Because, I mean, this is something that is potentially so earth-shattering and changing for everybody that, you know, when I think about the fact of, you know, the government's fighting over if they're going to put money here or money there or whatever, is there a reason why, or is it something that you guys don't pursue because then they get too involved and they want too much control?
Go ahead, Tom.
there is government funding.
Oh, good.
And especially in our space, we're actually pursuing a financing strategy that both encompasses the pursuit of government funding and the pursuit of private sector funding. And actually, Matt and I have been successful, even recently, in receiving a National Science Foundation grant to help us develop our technology. The government funding is very helpful. We also have three additional grants that we've written that will be reviewed in the future, and we feel very positive about that. With that said, those government grants are designed to augment the additional funding that you can get. So it really has to be a marriage between both the government and the private sector in funding something all the way through the regulatory process.
So, and to kind of mirror that back, it sounds like some of these grants would be matching funds. Would that kind of be the term?
There are funds that are specific to a time frame of your development. And then there are funds that you receive, and yes, it's a matching fund. There are several different types.
The grant that we just received from the National Science Foundation is from their seed fund, and it's very competitive. So they evaluate all these novel, potentially new technologies to meet their mission to, you know, improve health Americans. We're really excited. We just recently received the grant in August, so we just got funded for that. That opens the door for us to do some of our research and development. And, you know, those grants don't, they have certain restrictions. They don't cover patent expenses and some of the other things that are part of a commercialization strategy.
Okay. So let's go back to the technology for a little bit, Matt. And so tell us a little bit about how you came up with the idea to use light to kill cancer. Because, I mean, you know, there's so many other things out there. There's so many other ways that it seems like you know, mainstream medical has approached different aspects of it. Why did you choose light?
Yeah, so that kind of goes back to my background of being trained as a neurophysiologist. And, you know, since I started my postdoctoral fellowship and my tenure track position at UT San Antonio, I was heavily involved in studying respiratory neurons in the brainstem. So the brainstems that are thought to be abnormal when human babies die from sudden infant death syndrome. And the constant and current correct theme there is that they don't have the ability to detect CO2 when they stop breathing. There's a certain place in the brain where the CO2 is detected, and those cells are really acid sensors. And so I spent quite a few years becoming very good at imaging those cells and measuring their pH and manipulating them. But I couldn't find a good way to make them acidic just on the inside. And all this had to do with the, you know, sort of the development of respiratory system. I searched and searched and read the different research papers, and I came across this compound that, when activated by light, would produce an acid equivalent. So I tried it in my lab. I showed that I could produce a mild acidosis, just like if the animal stopped breathing for a moment. And I watched what the cells did, and they recovered. And I actually wrote a peer-reviewed scientific paper about that. After continuing to research this for a while, I realized that I could make the cells as acidic as I wanted to. I would just increase the drug or increase the light. So I started looking at applications that I could apply that to, and everything I found indicated cancer, cancer, cancer. I actually read a paper that said, currently nobody knows how to disrupt the intracellular pH and cause only intracellular acidosis, but if someone could achieve that, it would revolutionize cancer therapy. And I read that, and I thought, I think I know how to do that. So that was really, that really sort of initiated me approaching the university with the idea for a patent. And I quickly realized that I was not equipped with the expertise from the business side. And so after some of those provisional patents and things were written and we did some interesting work in the lab, that's when I found Tom, and we just really hit it off, and we've had a great partnership so far. We made tons of progress since the last time we met.
You know, and one of the things that I have thought of is that, how do you isolate it? Because it's my belief that one of the reasons why we have failed in some of the other aspects of trying to do this is that whatever is used can't differentiate between a cancer cell and a healthy cell, and so it has a tendency to kill both. How were you able to isolate in such a way to where it leaves healthy cells alone?
That's a great question. And I just kind of back up to sort of the current standard of care is, you know, we're going to cut it out, we're going to burn it out, we're going to poison it. And none of those things are really selective to just cancer, even some of the chemotherapies that are attempting to kill cancer. There's always sort of the collateral damage of healthy cells. What we've done is, on our proprietary drug, we've attached a molecule, an antibody that sort of sticks out from its surface, and it will only seek out and stick to the correct antigen or receptor on the cancer cell. So our first indication is to treat prostate cancer. Our drug, this nanoparticle, has the prostate-specific membrane antibody on its surface. And so it will travel through the circulatory system and just ignore everything except when it sees the prostate cancer cells. Then it will bind to and become brought in. It'll be brought inside that cell. So that's the first layer of specificity. The second layer is, because that drug by itself will do nothing. It'll just sit there and it'll become degraded.
Right. So that just brings it in.
Right. The second step is where the clinician directs the beam of light. Right, so you can shine the beam of light sort of spanning across a tumor, and any light that goes outside the tumor really does nothing. It just passes through the tissue. So it's only when you have the targeted drug inside the cancer and the beam of light passing over, activating that drug, that you get the rapid acidosis, and then the cells immediately start to kill themselves.
Okay, I got it. I'm sort of getting a visual of, you know, if, you know, in thinking of it in like a war term or something like that, where they want to destroy something, but not everything around it. And they literally go in and plant a detonator of sorts in one spot so that if you shot at different things, it would just pass through it. It would just go through it, like, you know, with your light. But if you hit that detonator, that's when it goes off. But it only goes off in that control thing. So I love it. So I can think the other thought is that I lost it. I had it a moment ago. So where are you at right now? I think when we talked before, I think a lot of your testing is being done in a Petri dish, if I recall correctly. You know, I've done over 500 shows, so sometimes I'll miss a few things. I think you were doing it then. And then as I've looked into it now, you've now been doing it, I believe, with animals. Where is it now, and how soon might we be looking at the possibility of testing this with humans?
So I left the university a couple of years ago to devote myself full time to this project. But when I was at the university, I did some studies and showed that I could reduce tumors of triple negative breast cancer in mice and double their survival. In order to make this technology really adoptable in the clinic, we shifted and pivoted this technology to a nanoparticle that's able to be activated by very deep penetrating light. So, and Tom can tell you about the partnership that we just created for our laser source, but we have a laser that if you shine the light on your head, photons will come out the back. Just go very deep penetrating through bone. And that's what we need to order to activate this nanoparticle to cause the effect that we have. So we have formulated a drug that was very different from the drug that we used before. The drug has the advantages of the unique targeting and the ability to receive this deep penetrating light.
Okay. We have some listener questions that have come in, and I would like to share them. First, I'd like to thank those that take the time to do this. And we have one that reads, says, I'm really intrigued by how fast you say your therapy works on cancer cells. My question is, once approved, how long will it take to be up and running in individual hospital systems? Is the equipment you use highly specialized, or does it already exist for other uses? And that's from Tom in Virginia. For either one of you.
So we do have a long road until we get to actual patient usage. We have to go through the regulatory process. Once the product's commercialized, it's really not specialized equipment. The beauty of the three components of our therapy that Matt described, the first is the targeted drug. That's our specialty. That's our expertise. And Dr. Godovan has fully developed our targeted drug specifically for prostate cancer, which is our first indication. The other two components of our therapy, which is the medical laser and the laser probe that goes with the medical laser, that's a product that's actually already on the market. We've just entered a global corporate partnership with a very impressive company called LightCure Medical Lasers. Mm-hmm. And LightCure Medical Lasers develops and sells commercial medical lasers into the healthcare professional market for the activation of compounds like ours, and also for therapy. They're also in the animal health market, where they activate compounds in the animal health market. So with our compound coupled with LightCure Medical Lasers laser technology, it is not going to be very expensive. It'll be cost effective. And 2/3 of our technology is already FDA approved and in the marketplace. So once we commercialize and get FDA approval, we hope the adoption is relatively quick.
Now, is there a size or an amount of cancer that has reached a point in a patient to where It is pretty much a death sentence. Is there any way someone like that could still gain benefit from this? If you kind of follow, and I'll because my follow-up question to that is, and I believe it was in the 80s, and I might have been, I think it was with AIDS, and I think they did it with Laetrile or something, but it had to do with the fact that you could end up going into a category of people that if they didn't get something within X amount of time, they were going to die. Absolute. And so with that in mind, I believe there was some arrangements made to where they were able to go into some sort of special testing that moved the technology up incredibly a lot faster. Does this make any sense or anything that is possible? And if so, why isn't it being done? Because we know that there are tons of people dying of cancer every day.
Right. Well, and I believe what you're referring to is orphan drug status.
Mm-hmm.
That helps facilitate a quicker movement through the regulatory process.
Yes.
We've selected, while Dr. Godovan's technology will kill any type of cancer cell, as you stated, the challenge with previous cancer therapies is they're not targeted.
Right.
So our first step was we had to choose the initial indication that we were going to pursue in the marketplace. And that's prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And we chose prostate cancer really for three reasons. The first was there's truly an unmet significant need for a very targeted therapy for prostate cancer patients. The second is that for our first cancer indication, we wanted to ensure that we could get to the market as quickly as possible so patients could benefit from this. And we believe that because of the proximity of the prostate tumor, that we could more readily and easily access the tumor with our technology, both the drug and the activation with the light source. And then the third reason we chose prostate cancer is as we were looking in the cancer sector and at the big players, big pharma, that could potentially help facilitate us getting to market more quickly with the resources they have, we had an expressed interest from pharma for a prostate cancer therapy that is light activated like ours. So hopefully that answers your question. We didn't select a cancer that is would have orphan status for our first indication, but we did make our decision for prostate cancer based upon need and how we could facilitate our therapy to the marketplace as quickly as possible.
Okay. There's a couple of other questions that are coming in right now. This one through instant messaging, and this one says, do they have drugs for other types of cancer? That's one question in itself, and I'll let you answer.
Okay.
Next one.
Yeah, so what we have is a core compound. This core compound is this nanoparticle containing the drug that causes the acidosis. And as we said in our prostate cancer version of that, it has a targeting agent to seek out prostate cancer. So that core compound can relatively easily be redirected or retargeted to another cancer. There are several sort of, we think about it like a lock and a key. We're going to put the key on the drug and we're going to have it go find the lock on the cancer. So there's a nice sort of spectrum of potential things that we could use. We could put one new molecule on our particle and it would then be able to be used to treat lung, colorectal, glioblastoma, and ovarian cancer. One drug. because those cancers all highly express the surface marker for the agent that we're putting on there. Our goal as we're driving the prostate cancer indication through the FDA approval process is to be in the laboratory, and I'm really excited about that part of it, to develop the new pipeline of drugs and just keep pushing and pushing and pushing those through the animal testing and all the regulatory testing that you need to do.
So just from a timing standpoint, as soon as we raise the seed round of funding, one of the things we've budgeted for in that, in addition to facilitating our current drug through the regulatory process, is Matt will be working on our next drug. And to his point, our core drug is already developed. Now it's just a matter of changing the targeting, which I like to say is a very simple process, but Matt doesn't usually sign up for it simple.
Another question again that came in, and this one follows the same, the other one, and it says, will it be as effective for cancer that has metastasized to other or different parts of the body?
Well, that's a great question. So we actually just submitted a grant to investigate the ability for our compound to treat metastatic prostate cancer. We have, based on some of our preliminary work, strongly believe that we could treat a primary prostate tumor and trigger an immune response that could then facilitate, you know, the shrinking and death of the metastatic prostate cancer cells. So that's something that we're very excited about. And this grant is through the NIH, National Cancer Institute. So they seem pretty excited about it, too. So hopefully that answer will be coming in 2021.
All right. Well, I love what you're doing. We're going to take a break. For everybody out there, if you know somebody who is going through or dealing with anything as it relates to cancer, let them know that they're on live, but we will also have this show on our website, but you can get whatever information you want. Now, we're going to take a break right now, but we're going to be back. So stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We are speaking with Matthew Godovan and Tom Roberts, and the company is Vitanova Biomedical, and we are talking about curing cancer. It just doesn't get much better than this, folks. Now, we have some more questions from listeners. I want to get those, get those answered as quickly as we can, because there's just so much to go over. But we've got another question that says, I remember listening to you on the show a couple of years ago and believe you stated back then that the treatment would eventually work on the majority of cancers. Is that still the case? And can you estimate when you think this will be available for humans? And that's from Yolanda in New York.
Okay. Yolanda, I'll take the first part and I'll give Tom the second part. because the core compound has to be to have it spare healthy tissue and not have the devastating side effects, because of that really unique feature that we're developing, we have to have the drug targeted to a specific type of cancer. So we believe that we can make, you know, versions of the drug, of the core compound, targeted to different cancers. And then from there, the light activation, and that process is identical. So that's our hope, that and our goal is to move towards that.
And Tom, before you answer the next part, Matt, would you compare it to, for instance, like vaccines, where you say a vaccine for this flu is different than a vaccine for that flu? Is that kind of what I hear you saying? And the same thing with the cancer. There's it's different in each case, but a lot of it that's the same.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good comparison. You know, when you look at different types of cancers, like different types of breast cancer, that, you know, the current approach for chemotherapeutics and targeted things like that has to do with sort of the nature of what type of breast cancer a patient has. Ours just cares that there's a cancer there and we can get inside of it. Because once we activate the drug and cause this acidosis, it doesn't really matter what version of cancer it is. And we've proven that in the lab.
Great. So, Tom?
Yeah, so in terms of timing, and I want to be realistic with everyone. There are a lot of factors that drive the timing of when a drug can be commercialized. And that's everything from the development of the drug, the testing that needs to be conducted, and facilitating it through the regulatory process. And again, that all does cost a lot of money to get that done. If we had all of the funding we needed and everything went perfectly through our testing and development, realistically, our technology would be in the market in 8 to 10 years from today. So this is not something that is right around the corner. And I want to be realistic with the listeners, because it's an exciting proven technology, right? Proven in the lab, and it has a lot of potential. But there's a lot of testing that needs to be done to ensure that it goes through the appropriate channels, that it's safe for humans and it's effective. So while there's hope, there is a longer term time frame we're looking at here.
Well, may I add that in that estimated time frame, there is a point in there where the phase one human clinical trials are part of that. And that could be 4 or 5 years out.
Three to five years out.
So that's exciting for us, that we have, you know, the ability to really just push and drive this technology so that, you know, in 3 to 5 years, it's being used in a clinical trial basis and to help ease, patients that are dealing with cancers.
Yeah, obviously, the sooner the better. Another question that has come in, and this one reads, my aunt has lung cancer and had gone through 2 periods of chemo treatment, and we were told that it must not have gotten at all. They have that in quotes. And it says, we are worried that a third round of chemo will do more harm than good. What other options does she have today or until your treatment is available in humans?
Yeah, that's a difficult question to answer with that information. I would say we get dozens of emails a week from people. But the first thing we do is tell them that I'm not a medical doctor. And we refer to the clinicaltrials.gov site, which we can refer people to. And I'm happy to, you know, go over the available clinical trials with them. So, you know, the lung cancer and the different cancers, when we think of them sort of deeper within the body, like pancreatic cancer and liver cancer, those types of cancers, when we look at the ability for our technology to potentially treat that, we have a couple different avenues to go through. So going down the airway and into the lungs, sort of shortens that distance, and then the activating light can go 3 to 5 inches through tissue and bone. So,
I just reiterate what Matt just said, because again, we do have people living with cancer that are contacting us quite often, asking us what they should do, and that the clinicaltrials.gov On that site exists all clinical trials that are going on globally for every type of cancer. And we've had people that have come back to us and successfully been enrolled in some of these clinical trials. So that's what I would ask the listener. Please go to that site and review. And if you need any help, Dr. Godovan is always willing to interact and help.
Yeah, and sometimes patients, I'll find a couple of candidate trials for them, not being a physician and not having, you know, the medical records. And I'll just tell them, why don't you, I'll email you the trials, and why don't you just give those to your physician and have them evaluate and see if the patient's a good candidate for that.
That's great. And I was going to say, Tom, I think you're a mind reader. Because that was going to be the question. I like, are there any clinical trials that they could get involved in? And you had it. So that was great. I'm looking at, we have about 8 minutes. And I want to sort of shift to the other side of this, which I believe is more your side, Tom. As I started reading about it and I heard about the recent connection with the people that are going to help raise money and stuff, can you tell us a little bit more about that? And for instance, can anyone invest, or is this just going out to large mutual investors? What are they going to get? Are they going to get convertible notes? And if so, explain what convertible notes are. Because I'm interested just in listening to it. It's like, if I can do something, so I'm going to tell my listeners, I want to know because I want to do this myself. And I hope if any of you are watching or listening, you want to make a difference. And this show is all about making a positive difference in the world. And this is one of the ways I can make a positive difference. This is what I'm going to do. And I think a lot of others will also. So tell us what we can do, or walk us through the process, because maybe a lot of people aren't as savvy from an investigation or an investing standpoint.
Absolutely. So if I can take a step back briefly.
Sure.
So over the last year, we did have our first round of funding, mm-hmm. which we called the Friends and Family Round.
Okay.
And that was people that we knew, obviously our friends and family who wanted to contribute, who wanted to help. Both Matt and I's families have been touched with cancer. So we were able to raise almost $1 million through friends and family, which really drove the technology from the university lab to a fully developed drug that we have today, ready to start the FDA testing. With that round complete, as I said, we just opened a seed round of funding. We are working with a company called OCMX out of Toronto, Canada, that is helping to facilitate introductions. Mm-hmm. However, in that partnership, we personally are still able to raise money that will augment what they're doing. So there are some criteria that the SEC has in place. And I won't go through the definitions, but an investor in this round of funding does have to be accredited. You have to be an accredited investor, and you can Google accredited investor and find the definition for that. What the investor in this round will get is a convertible note. And what a convertible note is, in layman's terms, is basically today you're loaning us money in order for us to continue to develop our drug, get it tested, and through the FDA process as quickly as possible. At a designated point in the future, which we've already identified, that loan will automatically switch over to shares in our company. So at first, you'll be an investor in the company. And at a designated point in the future, that investment will shift to shares in the company, so you will be a shareholder.
Sounds good. And I appreciate you for explaining that. And I do know about as far as being accredited and such, but and that was perfect. Just tell everybody, go ahead and Google it because it explains it really well. What else can we do? What else can the people do? Is there anything we can do in regards to contacting government entities and explaining why this is important? Is there any call to action that we can do that can help you make this happen?
You want to go first?
You go first.
really, it's the call to action that you just expressed, right? The company is well positioned right now. We're early, but we're very well positioned. As we said, we have the technology ready to go. We have already established all of our development, clinical, and regulatory partners. We have best-in-class third-party partners, which will help facilitate this through the process. Really, right now, it's a matter of the funding we need in order to get this through the testing and through the process, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're working on. Matt is working on optimizing the drug, so we're ready to go. And I'm working on raising the funding that we need to be successful. We both kind of switch hats every once in a while, but as Matt said, it's a good partnership, and that's really what we need.
I'd like to just share and let everybody listening or watching know that, you know, this isn't a big conglomerate company. You're looking at the company. There's a co-founder and chief financial officer, and that's it. So Tom's being kind. When we make the nanoparticles and the drugs, he and I are in the lab doing it together. You know, and so we're very committed to this. This is
me in the lab. This is me out of the lab, right?
Yeah. Just throw on the white lab coat, right?
Yep.
we have a tremendous positive attitude. We have a Bible study group that prays for us on a regular basis to just keep us guided in the right path. And so we are really excited.
Well, I look forward to talking to you more. And in fact, off air, there's a couple of things that I want to talk to you about because there are some people that I know that I'd like to steer in that direction. I just really want to take this time to thank you, to just let you know how much I appreciate, Matt, I was impressed the first time when we talked, and I just remember telling Jan, please just make sure you get him back on as he gets closer with this, because these are the things that we need. And to me, I mean, you know, you now, both of you are the real heroes of making a positive difference in the world. So I just really want to acknowledge you and thank you for everything you do.
Well, thanks for having us. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to see all the progress. You know, you get these baby steps, but we have, since the last time I was on by myself, just completely revamped the drug and the entire approach to a much better product. And Tom coming on board, he did all the partnerships for everything, all the way down to who's going to do the human clinical trials. He's got it all figured out. So,
all right. Well, you certainly have more patience than I would. So, again, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and actually, one more thing. For anybody that wants to get directly in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that or to get in touch with the company?
May I give my email?
Absolutely.
TRoberts@VisionVictor. nisinnorthbiomed.com. TRoberts@vnbiomed.com.
And what's the website for those that don't want to email but want to just start looking into it?
VitaNovaBiomedical.com.
All right. And for anybody out there, if you're driving and you couldn't write this down, don't try. You can also go to our site at answersforthefamily.com. We will make sure that information is on our site as well. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And for everybody out there, please join us next Monday when we are joined by Bridget Gaspard, and who is the author of The Final Eight. which is enlist your inner selves to accomplish your goals. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can also go there to be able to get the information on today's show or anything else that you need in regards to our show or in regards to the guests themselves. We're going to have that information there for you. I would love it if you would subscribe through iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, or SoundCloud, or all of them if you'd like. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please stop by, check out our page, check out some of our posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. And for everybody out there, be kind and healthy humans, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.